is a creature of the night, whose very name strikes terror in the hearts of man. He fears only mirrors, the scent of garlic, and the sight of a crucifix. He feeds upon human blood. Only sunlight or a stake driven through his heart can destroy him or those whose blood he drinks. His name is Dracula.
I love you, and I can give you eternal life.
I knew it, an insurance salesman. I've already got Prudential.
Dracula in New York. His style is irresistible. His curiosity is irrepressible. And when he takes a bite out of the Big Apple, his appetite is insatiable.
If you're hungry, Master, we could ring for the night maid.
George Hamilton.
His blood in your eyes.
Susan St. James. Richard Benjamin. Dick Shawn. Sherman Hemsley. Isabel Sanford. And Artie Johnson as Renfield.
Finally, after 712 years, to have someone bite me again.
Love at first bite.
Listen up, action fans. Take notice, true believers. Face front, geeks and nerds.
Wait. Hold on. Why are you dressed like that?
What do you mean, Producer Mike?
You're wearing like a Hawaiian shirt and shorts, and you have like this mohawk. I don't understand why you look like that.
I always dress like this. I always have the letters TW shaved into my chest hair.
But I don't understand. You're from the city. I don't understand why you're...
What do you mean? I grew up in California with Eskimos.
What? What are you talking about? What changed? I don't know why you're acting
Producer
like this.
Producer Mike, I have always lived like this. Maybe you're trapped in an alternate reality, but I'm the one who's in the real reality.
What are we trying to prove here? What is the point of all this?
We were talking about the Wonder Woman costume change and continuity reboot, and I was thinking, what would it be like if we were doing the Action Room, but instead of me growing up in Long Island, I grew up raised by a family of Eskimos, and my costume changed, just like Wonder Woman's. So I'm going to reboot myself, Producer Mike. I'm going to reinvent myself.
But did you have to go to the lengths of actually dressing up like this to do it?
Of course, to illustrate the point. You can't see it, radio fans, but I'm dressed up totally. I'm an alternate universe Tony Wolf.
Please, because I know you're a method actor and everything, but when we leave and go to the break or go to the interview, please just dress. Go get back and grow your hair out.
Maybe.
And get back into...
Maybe.
All right. You're going to scare Kim.
Do you like my new logo? I have a new logo, too. I got all this stuff.
Okay. What logo? Oh, the logo in your chest hair?
The logo in my chest, yes. I have a new everything. All right. So welcome back to the Action Room. Of course, I am alternate reality Tony Wolf.
And I am the same as always reality.
He's regular reality.
Producer Mike.
He is not an Elseworlds Producer Mike. He's not a what-if Producer Mike. And, of course, we are the geek radio podcast that is burning up the interwebs.
Maybe we should do a whole what-if episode.
A what-if
episode?
That'd
be kind of cool. Like,
right?
Just go in a totally different direction. Like, I don't know
what
that
would
be.
What if I became a reggae singer instead of the Action Room host?
Yeah, or just like, maybe we can switch roles. You can be Producer Mike.
Producer
I'll be
Tony.
Yeah, Producer Tony.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
That sends a shiver down my spine.
How would that go?
I don't know.
Let's try that for a second. Hey everyone, this is Mike Wolf, and I'm here. This is the opening of the Action Room, where you can get all the best geek news ever. I'm here with.
Hey, I'm Producer Tony.
All right, Producer
and,
Tony.
Hey, tell him when we have new shows.
New shows every Monday and Friday. We'll work on that.
Okay, all right. Well, that's a lot easier being Producer Mike.
I know, right? I do.
All right, so of course we do have new shows every Monday and Friday mornings. Join our Facebook fan page.
But when you're Producer Mike, you have to edit the show too.
Yes, I have to spend hours and hours. Now, someone pointed out to me that on Facebook you no longer are a fan of something, you like.
Okay.
You like a fan page to join it. So like us.
Please like us.
And follow us on Twitter, which means you like us also.
Awesome.
Okay, so coming up in the show.
And lick us.
Lick us also, yes.
Okay.
That was a great sound effect. So our friend and movie TV correspondent and pop culture expert, Kim Rogers, will join us with her live review of the new Twilight movie, Eclipse, which she braved and saw last night.
Specifically, it's called The Twilight Saga Eclipse.
The Twilight Saga colon Eclipse.
Yes.
Wow. All right.
What a retarded name for a retarded film.
And Kim will also join us for the Nerd News.
Uh-huh.
We'll also have an interview coming up later with Rich Johnston,
yeah,
who runs the very celebrated, well-known pop culture and comic site in the UK, BleedingCool.com. He's got journalism, he's got gossip, he's got leaked news. It's all sort of like Ain't It Cool News, except for the comic book, movie, pop culture world.
Okay.
And
well,
I've loved Rich for years. I'm
well,
so excited that you got the interview.
Yeah, no, he's an awesome guy, and he has a great British accent.
Yes.
Don't hold that against him.
Right.
And
it's sort of like Grant Morrison. You might have trouble understanding him. We'll
right.
provide subtitles.
Subtitles with a podcast. That'll be interesting.
Yes,
I guess we
yes.
could yeah do that somehow. All right, so we want to give a shout out to Chris Roboto.
Chris Roboto. He's not Roberto. Chris Roberto. No, he's at Chris Roboto, like Domo Arigato, Mr. Roboto.
Okay.
On Twitter.
And he won our Frank Miller poster that we had last episode that I had gotten from Paul Pope, who had gotten it from Frank Miller, whatever. It was a Jurassic Park.
So it touched both of their hands.
And we sent it to him, and he's also been writing headlines for us.
He's a massive fan of The Action Room, and he's now, yeah, he's of his own free will. He took it upon himself, without asking, to join our headline brigade.
Yeah.
And he's coming out with some good headlines.
And we're paying him a bucket load for that.
A buck at load.
Shout out
thank
to
you,
him.
Thank you, Chris Roboto.
And we will have more contests and giveaways.
Yes. So listen to the show.
So, yes, please listen.
Listen carefully. You might miss something.
Now, last episode also, we had some interesting people on. They were the social network queens that we
yes.
called them.
Zane and Selena.
And they were awesome, totally nice people. But I would have to say, if I'm a superhero, being Mr. The Antisocial Man, they would be my arch enemy,
yeah.
Social women. And
producer Mike is not as into the social media thing.
And so they wanted to hang out with us afterward.
Right.
Most of our guests don't ask us that, but they know better. But they didn't, and they asked. And so I said no, because I had to do some other stuff anyway, or pretended I had to. And you actually ended up going out
with
them.
I was curious to hang out with them. We had an interesting time.
You're a glutton for punishment. Now, what what happened exactly?
So, okay. The most notable thing is that I accompanied them to a tweet up.
That's amazing.
Now, okay, after the world of flash mobs and that whole thing, Craigslist gatherings, there was a website called meetup.com where it was sort of half for singles and half for people who just wanted to make more friends in their neighborhoods, where they would have gatherings, meetups. Well, when Twitter took over the world, meetups became tweet ups. So I go to this tweet up with Zane and Selena. And it was fascinating, because these are mostly friends or acquaintances that they have made through Twitter, although maybe some of them are people they really knew prior to that. And it was fun, you know, people kind of playing guitars, kind of hippie-ish singing and everything, but everyone was tweeting with their phones, with their iPhones, kind of every 3 minutes, here I am, I'm at the park, I'm with these
so
people.
So it's just a bunch of people in a room tweeting, basically.
Basically, that's... I mean, interacting, but if 50% of the interaction is posting on the internet and Facebook and Twitter, here I am interacting with these people. Like, I guess it's sort of the thing where everyone wants to feel like a celebrity. So it's like, and that Foursquare thing, I'm not into Foursquare at all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's pretty much the same way. I'm at Starbucks. I'm at this restaurant. Don't you want to know where I am? It's sort of a very twisted mentality.
The question is, how much more can I hate this planet already? I mean, it's like, so my last thing I want to say is,
why does everyone need to know where you are, what you're doing every 5 seconds
pathetic,
of the day?
But
I mean, people tweet stuff like, I just had a bad bathroom experience. Now I'm making a ham sandwich. Now I'm doing this. God damn it, it's a lot of traffic. And I'm like, what is wrong with this?
And there's no shame. Nobody has any privacy anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so the one thing I want to say about Zane is that my mom came up, actually, with a funny idea. Now, originally there was the Rat Pack, right? That
right.
was
Dean Martin and
Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr. Then came the Brat Pack in the 80s
yes.
with Molly
Nelson
Ringwald and all that
yeah.
stuff. Then came the Whack Pack with Howard Stern, which is Beetlejuice and all those people, the crazy, weird people.
Right.
So we
Eric
should,
the Dwarf.
Yeah.
yeah.
She said, actually, was it Eric the Midget, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
But anyway.
There's
no,
so many dwarfs and midgets
is,
on
there
Howard
was
Stern.
Somebody, the drunk dwarf. He died,
right.
I think. Anyway, So we should, she suggested we should start the Geek Pack.
Right.
And I think that's a great idea. And we were thinking, okay, well, who are we going to have it? Our first entrant, or what would it be
candidate.
Called? Candidate.
Member of the Geek Pack.
Our first member, whether she likes it or not, is going to be Zane. And I would like to call her Zany Zane. And have her back in the show.
She's a very intense personality.
Yeah, she was the guest that we had that we've been talking about from last episode. So check it out. Listen to the last episode if you want. And she is awesome.
I thought I was an intense, talkative person.
Yeah, she does not stop. She does not stop.
An Energizer bunny of social media.
Yeah, she is the epitome of someone who can't read a room. And it's just, but she can read her Twitter. That's about it. So, but I love her. She's awesome. And we definitely want her back. But I'm glad we have a first member to the Geek Pack.
All right, so we'll have to see. Maybe if you're listening very attentively, like you want to win a contest, if you know someone or you are a very eccentric, strong, interesting geek personality, you can apply to be a member of the Geek Pack.
And you can win embarrassment.
You can win internet stardom and some laughs, humor, and embarrassment.
Right.
All in good fun, though. All in good fun.
Of course.
All right. So we also want to give a shout out to a website that we have truly enjoyed from the moment we joined
Twitter. More than a shout out, an advertisement.
Oh, yes.
A commercial,
yes.
Even.
This is a wonderful site. We love it. It's really distinguished itself as one of the best pop culture sites I've ever seen. It's very unique. They have great writing, very clever.
And not to mention they love our stuff.
Not to mention they have the good taste to write us up several times. The site we're talking about is youbentmywookie.com.
And currently, they said that we are 16.7% weight. Which people are like, well, what? Oh, okay, go ahead. Well, we're doing cross promotion with them, so they're
going to agreed to run some ads for us if we promoted them heavily on our show, which we're only too happy to do.
And they threw out a term to us that we didn't understand, but we looked it up. And the idea of advertising weight, it deals with how the percentage of how much is used in a campaign for that
For example, on their site, ads for the Action Room are now appearing on 16.7% of their articles, like distributed throughout the site
for
random pieces.
Which is just interesting because we frantically tried to Google what they were talking about.
Yeah. I thought 16.7% weight meant some sort of pixelation, resolution, distribution.
I thought they were calling us fat. I don't know. But anyway.
But please check them out, youbentmywookie.com.
Oh, one of the things that's really cool on there is they have this YouTube video they're showing for a cardboard, like, war, where they have cardboard guns and stuff. It's so well done.
A guy made a terrific short film. It's utterly amazing. Great CGI, but all of the weapons are made of cardboard, and it's really fantastic. I hope this guy goes somewhere as a result of this.
He will, I'm sure. And we'll
go to 20% weight.
Yeah, right. So that's an awesome short. You definitely have to check it out.
Yes.
And so youbentmywookie.com.
Check them out. They're a great site. We love them.
And okay, so that's it. Let's go to the interview with Rich Johnson again.
And then did you have to call him at like 3 in the morning because of the time difference?
It worked out where it was an afternoon or night for me, and it was like later for him. But say the last few things if you want to say about him before we get into
it. Nothing to say except I love Rich Johnson. He's a great sense of humor, a very intelligent man. The comic industry needs someone like
and
him,
recently,
and I'm so glad that we have him.
Recently, we'll be talking about this later, but recently, because of all the Wonder Woman costume news, his site has been getting huge hits.
Yes.
Numbers.
Well, he's linked to by many major mainstream media sources as like one of the definitive authorities on comic books and pop culture, other than, say, like MTV Splash Page or Marvel.com or whatever. So much props to Bleeding Cool. I've read it in all its incarnations 5 years ago, 8 years
ago.
But
MTV does link him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm just saying, I'm comparing him to other similar mainstream authorities on geek culture.
But just recently, specifically because of the Wonder Woman, he's getting even bigger. Oh. So definitely check out his site.
I'm jealous that you got to interview him and I wasn't there for it.
Yeah, no, it was an incredible experience sitting at a computer listening to somebody through the computer.
All right. We don't want to talk him up too much. Okay, so here's the interview that producer Mike did with Rich Johnston of BleedingCool.com.
This is Mike for the Action Room, and I'm on the phone with Rich Johnston, an online gossip columnist whose site BleedingCool.com has become one of the biggest blogs for the comic book industry. How you doing, Rich?
Oh, not so bad. It's a very hot summer's day kind of thing.
Now, my co-host, Tony, has been following you forever. You started writing for Usenet News Groups in 1994, and then a comics gossip column called All the Rage, and then one called Lying in the Gutters. And then in 2009, you started Bleeding Cool. Tell us about why you wanted to become a gossip columnist in the first place and what your journey's been like starting from the early days of the news groups to Bleeding Cool.
Okay, well, basically, I think it's kind of like filling a need. I noted that there seemed to be certain similar examples for film and television, law, politics, media, carpentry even, but not comic books. And I kind of thought, there's a bit of a gap here, really. So I basically just tried to start filling it, just simply just on the internet, just posting things that I'd come across, often taken from magazines like Comics International that hadn't been seen by the Americans. And then about a year ago, I lost my job, and William Christensen at Avatar said, well, why don't you just do what you're doing every day for me, and I'll pay you money, and it'll help promote Avatar, I guess, that kind of thing. So I was kind of very flattered to kind of be given this opportunity. So I basically write the column for him, and I get a nice little check every month. It's not a massive check, but it certainly pays the mortgage, and I kind of do freelance work on top of that to help out. So it's kind of a strange journey, kind of thing.
How are you able to get so many, you know, so much breaking comic book news before anyone else?
Basically, I think the big reason is that I don't generally do publicity deals with companies. Most websites, Comic Book Resources, Newsarama, Comics Alliance, IGN, that kind of people, they'll do deals with publishers to say, you can break this story then, here's the story, wouldn't that be lovely? And I'm less likely to do that. As a result, I'm less likely to hold the story when it comes to me. I'm much more likely to run it. And because that's true, people, I guess, come to me with certain kind of stories that I shouldn't have yet. That's the kind of thing that comes my way, and that's always quite fun to get when it comes through.
Have you gotten into trouble by posting anything?
Actually, really, the most trouble I seem to get into is by not posting things or by asking people if it's okay to post things.
Now, you live in the UK, and the BBC One just aired the Doctor Who finale. How was it?
I thought it was lovely. I mean, the kind of person I am, I'm always going to have my Doctor Who blinkers on. I'm always going to like it. But, yeah, this one I thought was really quite fun. An awful lot of good time travel tricks. I'm a big sucker for those. I wrote a Doctor Who comic last year, which was, a bit of a thrill for me. But also, again, it was a bit of a time travel play with people's heads. And last night did a lot of that as well. So, yeah, I was very happy.
This is Mike for the Extra Room, and I've been talking with Rich Johnson. Check out his amazing comic book gossip site, bleedingcool.com. Thanks for joining me in the Extra Room, Rich.
Oh, you're very, very kind, and thank you for calling me. I feel 378% better just for talking to you, so that's a plus.
All right, action fans, we are back. And now, you know, this week we have more of the following section than you can shake a stick at. You remember that old phrase? We've got more of this than you can shake a stick at. Shake a stick at. And it is...
Nerd News.
Okay, and for the Nerd News this episode, we have Kim Rogers
to join us.
Woo! And she's going to shake a stick at the Nerd News. So,
yes, I am.
Okay, so where to begin?
Well, before we get into the reason she's here is because she unfortunately had to go see Twilight with all the teeny boppers.
The things I do for the Action Room and the Action Fan.
Her level of dedication is truly Herculean.
I had tried to get out of it. I had emailed you guys earlier and be like, so can we record it on Saturday so I can go Friday?
And I said, no, we have to go.
You're like, if you're up for it, really, I want you to go see it open.
Basically. If you're really dedicated. No, we have to be cutting edge. We have to have the review out 2 days after it opens.
You know.
As opposed to 4 days.
And you know that
days.
The Action Room fans have been wanting to know what people think of Twilight.
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. You know. Please.
I know I want to. But before we get into that, the main news, more important than any Twilight news, was Wonder Woman's costume.
Yes.
And everything else about Wonder Woman.
Right. Now, I had told producer Mike that I thought Wonder Woman number 600 was coming out this week. Before there was any hint of a costume,
okay,
it was just Wonder Woman landmark issue. We had Batman 700 a couple months ago. Superman 700, now Wonder Woman 600. I am impressed, I will say, the fact that DC kept a lid on this story until the night before the issue came out, and they are the ones that leaked it. They're the ones that released it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Wonder Woman has a new costume. The New York Times covered it. I mean, countless major news outlets. They got publicity.
Now, before we get into what we think of the costume, what did you think of the issue?
The issue itself, it's okay. It's better than Superman 700, but it's not nearly as good as the excellent Batman 700.
And how do they?
It's a bunch of short stories that are cute and entertaining.
And how do they intro the new costume?
Okay, well, they have a story at the very end. Now, both the Wonder Woman book and the Superman title are going to be written by J. Michael Straczynski, who wrote the Changeling movie.
Okay.
He created Babylon 5.
That.
Anyway, so it opens, not only does she have a new costume, as most fans know, but her entire life story has been rebooted.
What was the purpose of doing that?
Okay, well, I think this is the thing. They know that fans are not going to like this, because they can't be that dumb at the executive level.
Right.
They're not dummies. They know that fans are not going to like this, but they want to up the publicity, up the profile, and this is a common device in comics. Reboot the character, or do something radical that you know fans might not like, and have a story arc that the character has to fight to put time back the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And then, it's almost like New Coke. This is the analogy
right,
that I've been making.
Right,
you know,
okay.
You give people something radically new that they probably won't like.
Now, people
so
who
that
don't...
So that when you bring the original back...
They're like, thank God!
They appreciate it
and
much
people
more.
People who don't remember, Coca-Cola made a new formula called New Coke in
yes.
the 80s. And everybody hated it so much they had to go back to Classic Coke. And I think it's still called Classic Coke, right, to this day.
Technically, it might have the
Coke
word Classic Coke.
Classic, yeah. You know.
Now, we don't think that the new Coke, the Coke execs intended that effect at
right.
the time. But now that I think this is, in fact, in the short story at the end where the new costume debuts, it's one of those classic stupid mm-hmm. stories, which I'm personally sick of, where someone says to the character, don't you know the time is not right?
What?
Don't you know that you have to fight to restore reality? And they literally say, this is what you're fighting to restore. So we all know that her life will come back in 8 months. Maybe by then, of course, they'll be closer to a Wonder Woman movie.
But now the question, now why does she change her costume specifically, though?
No. In the comic, they're pressing the reboot so that this was always her costume from, like, teenage life.
Oh, that sucks.
This was all in the, you know, it's like an alternate reality.
I hate it so much. I'm looking at the picture, I'm sorry, I hate it.
DC had a thing called Elseworlds, which was like their all, what if, what, you know, and this is essentially, we get Elseworlds Wonder Woman fighting to restore the reality that we know should be Wonder Woman.
Okay.
Now, let's talk
too
about,
confusing.
Do you want to talk about the costume? I'm just
yeah.
telling you, I'm just
yeah,
telling you
too
what
confusing.
It is.
Yeah, it's confusing, I don't
first
understand.
First of all, to me, they didn't
she
just
has leggings.
Change her costume, they changed her face, they changed her hair, they changed everything.
Now,
well, no, this is just the artist, to be honest.
Okay.
Her face and
okay.
hair are the same.
The person who drew
like,
it is Jim Lee, right?
Yeah.
No, Jim Lee, you know, he designed the costume itself by committee, of course.
Okay, so who drew the actual sketch of it?
Jim Lee.
That's what I just asked. Okay, so
he
Jim Lee drew
it.
Okay.
Right.
So now, yeah, the first thing
by
I got
committee,
is,
though, I mean, you know.
But he drew this picture.
He drew, yes,
yeah.
exactly, the main
so
design.
So the picture that everybody's been seeing in the news.
Right.
The jacket. A jacket is the stupidest thing to put on Wonder Woman.
Yes.
You need to see her shoulders. You need to. I mean, that is part of who, that makes her epic and
I never thought about that,
huge,
but that makes
yeah.
sense. That's like her strength.
The jacket weighs her down.
It's going to be too bulky and get in the way of her swinging her lasso and, you know,
J. Michael
someone
Straczynski.
Can grab her by the jacket and stop
it's
her.
It's the kind of gapifying of everything, making
she
everybody
like
the
mall
girl.
Rat is what
yeah.
she looks
yeah.
like.
You have to make her, she has to, she's a goddess.
Oh,
she's
I
an
agree.
Amazon. It's
I mean,
like,
we all hate this costume.
She looks like she's a street punk hanging out at the mall in the mid-90s.
She does.
No,
in fact, a famous Hollywood blogger Nikki Fine said she looked like she was at the Sherman Oaks Mall or something.
Yeah.
And you know, in
so no, any press is good press, even if it's bad press.
Well,
and
this
that's
has
what's happening.
Wonder Woman has been a trending topic on Twitter
yeah,
and all the major search engines.
That.
So I really have to believe that Dan Didio and J. Michael Straczynski, JMS probably thinks this is a really good story. I think he truly believes it in his heart. I think the executives just want publicity on a character that normally gets neglected.
It's like a pure aesthetic thing. I hate that the leggings and the boots are black.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And
that's bad.
Too dark. It's too.
She looks like a dancer at a Hollywood call.
I miss the red boots as someone who. I mean, I do kind of. I like that she's not in a bathing suit slash.
You know what
you
it
know,
is?
Panties
it's,
anymore.
It's
but this
something.
Is,
it's something that could be seen in real life on a human being outside. The other one's a little bit more convoluted and fantasy oriented. But
right.
This just doesn't work. I mean, ultimately, when they do the movie, they're gonna make it the original costume. They're not gonna use this
or
one,
something
so.
Much closer.
Or something
to the original
closer
costume.
To it.
I mean, I had posted things. On,
I liked the one that you posted.
Yeah,
it looked like
the,
a Greco-Roman.
Some of it looks more. I mean, the comics have been inching her more and more a little bit towards. It should look less like a bathing suit. It should cover a little more skin, especially in the panties area, because
yes.
you don't want it just to be panties.
Yeah.
And she should look a little bit more like a Greco-Roman warrior. I think this is to stir interest in Wonder Woman so that when the classic comes back, the movie has to be the classic. If the movie is this, it's going to be like that shitty WB show Birds of Prey years ago. But which you don't know.
So shitty. I didn't watch it. Obviously.
It was like a failed Smallville. Okay. It was a Smallville with DC characters. Do you want Smallville on this on the big screen as Wonder Woman with like a shitty scaled down street urchin? No.
I think it really is to just gain interest in the book itself and her and to get people to be back on board.
But it's annoying. It's really annoying.
All right, so Twilight. Yeah. How is Twilight? I can't believe I'd rather hear the Twilight review. how
was
Twilight?
Well, it was an experience, and I will say that
you went Wednesday night.
I went last night, Wednesday night, in Queens. I wisely avoided Manhattan.
8 p.m., 9 p.m. Are the kids going to bed?
I was at 7:30, and there was about 75 people ahead of me in line, like, and all teenagers and squealing girls, and. Therein a lot is my problem with Twilight is the fans. I have a problem with the fans. I think they're obnoxious.
Again,
no argument there.
Yeah.
You know.
It was nuts. I went solo as it was easier for me and I couldn't convince any friends to go see it with me, let's be honest. So I'm sitting on the aisle and then there's an empty seat next to me and then more people and then this group comes and they sit in front of me, but one person came late and took the one seat next to me. And first of all, during previews, she kept like leaning up and talking to her friends. And I was like, dear God, if this happens the whole movie, I'm gonna punch her in the neck. And then she kept pulling out her phone during the movie and literally texting someone else in the theater
That's
about the movie.
Up.
How could you tell it was in the theater, though?
Because her friend in front of her had her phone out, too.
What, was her name Zane, by any chance?
I hope I'm not offending anyone. So we're finally, like, an hour and a half into the movie. I looked at her, and I was like, enough with the phone.
You said it?
Yes.
Oh, that's
I said,
awesome.
I was like, enough with the phone.
Well, because the light is distracting.
Yeah, the light,
the light,
I mean, she luckily it wasn't on vibrate or anything, it wasn't, like, making noise. But the light, I was, like, glaring.
No, I hate that. I see that all the time in theaters.
And what did she say? What did she say?
Like, oh, I'm sorry.
That's awesome.
She was shamed.
Well, and I kept my eye on her because she kept wanting to pull it out, and I think she was trying to hide it under her purse, maybe.
Like you were
so
her
she
parents.
Could text, and I was just like, seriously. But I was very proud of myself that I chastised her. Because I
would have liked you to actually punch her in the neck. But
that was pretty good. If she had kept leaning up and discussing
right.
I probably would have. I mean, but it was.
It sucks
finally,
that kids are used to that now. This bright flashlight that they want to talk on while they're in a dark theater.
And I'm like,
theater.
How can you enjoy the movie when you're talking on your phone? Like, how can you're gonna miss Jacob with his shirt off?
If this doesn't support the distraction theory I have, just no one can focus on anything anymore. I mean, this is it.
It's true.
It's one thing for people to, after they watch the movie, right away get into texting. They're doing it while they're watching
it. It's also about patience. They can't wait an hour and a half to share what they think about the movie.
Yeah.
They feel the need to
moment
do
by
it
moment.
Immediately. Yeah.
And it's also an addiction. Like, you ever see somebody, you know, they have to keep checking their phone? It's like almost like a, you know, I don't know.
It's
like
a compulsion. It's like an OCD kind
Well, mostly it's like they feel worthless unless they're always connected or always checking
and
or
having
always
their opinion affirmed. Like, yes, I thought Jacob was really hot in that scene too.
That, but it also just becomes very habitual. It's not even like, you know, they're not thinking it thinking about
so,
it.
So, anyway. Note to any listeners, if you sit next to me in a movie, don't pull out your phone.
Because she might punch you in the neck.
I might punch you in the neck, or at least tell you enough with the phone.
That can be our headline. Kim Rogers will punch you in the neck.
Okay, so the first one, I only saw the first one, and it was pretty shitty. But I heard the second one was even worse, and then the third one now
this,
is
this
better.
This one, and I think I give a lot of credit to David Slade, who directed it. I think he finally found the tone.
So this is the best one in your...
Oh, it's the best one, for sure. But it's also the first book where anything actually happens.
Oh, really? Well, like, why is that? What happens...
Well, it's the same story in the first two books, just with different characters,
right,
essentially.
Right.
And in this third one, there was a character in the first movie, Victoria, who Edward killed her partner and has been... She's been out for revenge ever since.
Oh, okay. She's the blonde, right?
She's a redhead.
Oh, okay.
Don't try it, Tony.
Don't even try to understand.
Yeah, she's the red. She may have been blonde in the first movie. I can't remember, but she's
That's
a redhead.
That's how important it is.
And so she is out for revenge against Edward and the Cullens, and she's like raising a vampire army and to attack the Cullens and ultimately kill Bella.
So the difference about this one is her role in this? Is that what makes it interesting, kind of?
It makes it interesting because the werewolves and the vampires have to join forces, you know, and they're mortal enemies that hate each other against this vampire army.
Because
the Cullens can't take on all these vampires by themselves.
So there are scenes with Edward and Jacob. We have to put away our differences and fight together.
Oh, I mean, there's... essentially, yes. Right. There's a whole scene where they're like... They're in hiding from Victoria, and they're up in a mountain, and Bella's freezing. And see, the thing with, like, Edward is his skin is cold. He's dead.
He's
a vampire. But Jacob is a werewolf, and he's warm. And, like...
This is Taylor Lautner?
Yeah, Taylor Lautner.
The abs or whatever.
Whose abs, I'm surprised, didn't get credited in the cast list. Like,
Taylor Lautner's
he
chest.
Is shirtless
the whole
the
time.
Entire
is it the girls
movie.
Go crazy when he...
Oh, my God. The first... His first shot, he wasn't even shirtless in his first shot, but it was like... This is what I was saying about David Slade getting the tone is like we knew Jacob was standing there just from the reaction that Edward and Bella were having, and like the whole theater was like, oh my God,
my
God, and his back was to us, and he was in this really tight t-shirt, and he just, you know, did the whole turnaround slow kind of thing, and I was like, my God, he might as well have been soaking wet and turning around in slow motion with a wind machine.
Be honest, Kim, did you get caught up in it a little bit?
Not in that part, but I will say I did get caught up when Jacob finally, like, because Jacob is also making a play for her.
Right.
Being like, you know, you have to choose me. And he kisses her and she, like, smacks him across the face. And he was like, fine, I'm not going to kiss you again until you ask me. And then, like, towards the end of the movie, she's he's going off to battle and he's mad at her because he just found out that she's going to marry Edward, and he's like, how can you do this? I mean, it's ridiculous teenage melodrama. She's like,
go ahead.
This is where I got caught up in it, because she's like, Jacob, no, kiss me.
Okay,
and I was like, and he did the whole, you know, stop, turn, and like ran and like grabbed her face and kissed her. The theater went berserk with like girlish screams.
Right.
I had like an adult reaction of that was hot.
You
know,
this is not a strict rave in true
no,
Kim.
No.
You definitely didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it. I had a good time.
It sounds like for mindless, bad popcorn eye candy movie, it was okay.
Like, you two would hate it, so I'm not telling boys to go see it.
I was going
to
say, outside of a girl forcing me to go, I've never seen
it. No, the only boys in the movie theater were, like, either gay or brought by duress. Like, it was so funny, because behind me in line, I mean, this girl was with her boyfriend, and she was like, you're going to fall asleep 10 minutes into this movie. I don't know why you're asking me what's going to happen. And I was just like, oh, man.
Now, what
were
the
like,
age
you're
going to
owe me another, my age. I was like, what? She's like, you're going to owe me another chick flick because you're going to sleep all through this one. And I was like,
is that how it works? It's like a barter system?
I guess, you know, he had made her go see some crappy action movie.
He falls asleep 10 minutes in bed, too. So I don't
know. You know, that's what happens.
So that's our movie news and whatever.
That's our show.
That's our show.
Woohoo!
All right. So
Kim, do you want to take us out?
So
yeah, just
join us every Monday and Friday for new shows on the Action Room. Join Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Woo! Lots of joining we ask you to do.
We're all about joining and sharing here in the Action Room. It's a very feminine episode.
And I don't know, see Twilight, I guess.
If you're a girl
listening to this and you like the books, see the movie.
Okay. If not, you can just laugh at it like we do.
Okay.
And on that note, we'll see you next time.